Now we return to our series, the 12 Powers series, which is about healing and prospering through the 12 Powers this time around. And throughout the summer, we covered many of our powers, 9 of them to be exact. And so now we're back to 3. We're doing a different order this time. So the first 6 were in the head region. And then we went to the lower regions of elimination and life and strength. And now we're in the gut and the heart to end. So wisdom, order, and love is where we're ending. And today is all about order. You probably gathered that by now. Order is signified by the color olive green, which we see throughout nature, which is full of order. And it is found at the navel. So we go all the way back to the beginning, to birth, to remember the sense of divine order. It connects us back through our ancestors and to the source itself. Canyon Coyote Woman talked about that last Sunday. She talked about how she lives on this really special land, Indian Canyon, and that her umbilical cord, her mother's umbilical cord, and her grandmother's umbilical cord are all buried on this land. And so there's that sense of connection, right, from this place of the navel. Connection, obviously, to our mothers, and so much more, to the divine mother, father, to the source, to our ancestors, to all of those who have come before us. It puts a whole different spin on navel gazing. Suddenly becomes this mark of like, wow, there's a lot going on right here in my belly, right? So something to behold in a whole different way. Whether you have an innie or an outie, you are spiritually connected. Let it be a reminder. You know, birth order matters, and by that I don't mean the order in which we were born like we normally think about it, but in terms of this order, this sense of the divine power of order that is connected to our birth, connected to our coming here to Earth at this time. I think about it as, you know, the source that that there is this universal divine pattern to the universe. There is a divine pattern beneath it all. And you could think of it, back to the analogy of our friends who were here, like grandmother spider who spins her web. The source has spun a web, a pattern to the universe. And then I believe that source, or something like this might have happened, where the source says, oh, well, I need that soul to be a part of this experience on Earth, or you could say experiment on Earth. And that soul there, that soul needs to be here. And so I believe that we were all invited, maybe called, and that there was some level of agreement that we would be born onto Earth at this time in this embodied way as our souls to evolve, to walk, to contribute, to give our gifts, to receive the lessons as well as the blessings, if you will, as one of the New Thought country artists sings. And so to give those, to receive those, right? We're here to be blessed, to be a blessing, and to learn, and maybe to teach others as we learn, so that those lessons are a part of our spiritual evolution, which is a part of that natural order of life, which is a part of that pattern, that source mind intelligence of the universe imagined, thought about, put that divine idea out into, and unfolded this underlying map. If you think about the stars and the map of the sky and all those different constellations, you know, that it's like as above, so below, as above, so within, that there is this pattern. Now, I don't mean that like it's an inflexible thing, like there's a rigid idea or a blueprint that we come in with individually and there are all these specific things that are going to happen. Personally, I think there's basic ideas, growth opportunities, and there are souls on the earth that we might connect with that would help us most in achieving that which we have come in here to do or to contribute or to experience or to learn and evolve into. And that there might be groups of souls, such as one like this, where we come into a spiritual community, and it's like, oh, lo and behold, I'm supposed to be with these souls. It's always so fascinating to me when somebody says, oh, I'm new here today. I had this conversation today. Well, I'm not really new here. I was here about 15 years ago. I used to come here, and now I've come back. That is a really common story. How many of you have that story in this room? Look at that. Yeah. So it seems like every week there's that kind of experience of I revolve in and I revolve out. And we trust that the revolve out is for your highest good as well. And you go to wherever you go and you do whatever you do. And then at some point you go, you know, I feel pulled back in. That, because that soul group is a part of my life's journey, is a part of that source pattern that was laid out before I said, okay, God, I'll come. Or I said, yes, God, I'll come. Who knows which way, you know, we entered into this life, you know. But whatever it is, however it is that we came, begrudgingly, willingly, like the reluctant saint that some people said Saint Francis was, or whether we came in fully yes to this time, to this place, we did choose to be here. It's always good to remember that. When I went to ministerial school, they slipped us this little piece of paper on one of the first days. It was like a Chinese fortune cookie, but we didn't get the cookie. We just got the slip of paper. And it said, I chose to be here. And that was really helpful. I still have it. It was really helpful to have around, because sometimes things got tough, right? And then I always thought of ministerial school as spiritual boot camp. But, you know, like, that's life too, isn't it? It's spiritual boot camp. If we're really, you know, if we're really consciously engaging in this as a journey, as a spiritually evolving journey, and that we're here to learn and we're here to contribute, it's kind of like spiritual boot camp. Sometimes the going gets tough. So it really helps to remind ourselves, oh, right, I chose to be here. It helps us avoid victim consciousness. And you know, get up and meet whatever it is that is here for us. And to remember, ultimately, all is well, right? No matter what is going on. And that's not meant to paint some kind of Pollyanna brush over the reality of difficult things in our lives. It's meant to say, I can see what's going on, I can feel what's going on, and I know there's something underneath it. Our source, God, the divine, there's something underneath it that tells me that there is a divine order at work here, and that all really is well, that ultimately all it really is well. So it's an affirmation that carries us forward. So when you said yes, I choose to be here, it was an agreement where Source knew that you were needed. Your soul was needed. Your unique being, your everything that makes you you was a part of your background, your ancestry, your shape, your size, your talents, your abilities, your messes, your mistakes, you know. It's like all of us, right? All of us are needed, not just the things that we do right or the times that we are aligned, but our bumbles too, right? Our messiness is a part of our human divine walk. And all of that comes together to create this orchestrated chaos that is really order. So often we think that, you know, those two things are different. But they're not so different. In the power of order, this power that is this pattern of the universe, that we have this blueprint that is a microcosm of that truth, there it seems like there's a lot of messiness and badness, but there's method behind the madness, right? And there's chaos in the order. You could think of the Taoist symbol, the yin-yang symbol, how there's a spot of black in the white and a spot of white in the black, and that whole symbol has this fluid feel to it, you know, the yin-yang symbol. And so there's that sense that there is chaos and order, and there is order and chaos, and all these things that we might call opposites are really one. It's all one circular movement or sphere of life in the grand circle of life. And there really is some scientific backing for this idea of chaos and order being partnered together. In an MIT meteorologist, Edward Lawrence, in the 1960s, through a series of experiments, came to some profound insights. It's now called chaos theory. And if you look at chaos theory, there are some things you can call from it that are particularly, I think, concepts that are relevant for us spiritually. And so three of those starts with the first one is that there is a sensitivity to initial conditions. Now, if you think about that, you know that we are sensitive to initial conditions, right? We hear about something like what's happened in Libya or Maui or Morocco or down the street from us or to our neighbor or to our family, whatever it is, and we feel, we're sensitive to that initial condition. Deeper than that, we're sensitive to energies. You know how it feels when something just doesn't feel right? When you walk into a space or you're in the presence of somebody and something just feels off. I remember as a young woman working in the city of Chicago, and sometimes I'd work late and I'd go into the parking garage to get my car. And I remember one particular time I was like, oh, something's not right, you know? And I was like shimmying along the elevator to go to a different floor and wait it out and, you know, just had to trust my gut. Is it safe now? Is it okay to go back to my car now? I mean, I don't know, was it my fear creating something or was it real? I didn't want to stick around to find out. I just was going to follow that gut feeling, right? And so that's what we do, right? This is the power of wisdom and order working together, that there is a greater order here and I'm attuned to it and I'm going to follow it. So whether it is in that kind of scenario, like a fearful scenario, or it's in a wonderful scenario, like, wow, I really want to be a part of that group or do that thing, or I really feel called to go to that place. That's a sensitivity to an initial condition. It's a sensitivity that we have. And so a second concept that it flows into is this idea that subtle action, even just small movements, can make a big difference. They have a profound effect on what happens next. So we are sensitive to the conditions, and then we take some action, right? So something doesn't feel right, we move aside, or we even cross the street, or we go somewhere else. Or something feels good, we move toward it. We say yes to it. We sign up. We enroll. We commit because it feels right. It feels good. It's what's urging us in that direction. So this you might know as the butterfly effect. The idea is that a butterfly can, scientifically shown, that a butterfly can be flapping its wings in the Amazon and it can affect a tornado in Texas. That's incredible, isn't it? You think about a butterfly, so small, so beautiful, so light, so delicate, that could make an energetic difference in a storm pattern. That kind of thing makes us recognize that even the smallest actions that we take toward good or another direction, that they have a profound effect. What we do matters. And if we take that sensitive initial condition, the sensitivity we have to it, and we move in that direction that the divine is showing us is the direction to go, then we are participating in the unfolding of the kind of divine order we want to experience. A big way we do this is through prayer, right? Through our own personal prayer lives, through our own personal prayer routines. Part of order is routine. So having your routine, your discipline that you do. I've done the same yoga routine for so long that it's like my muscles just do it. I don't really even have to think about do this, then, you know, it just sort of happens. And then it just frees my mind. So when we get into that kind of practice, it can really help our souls and feel that sense of divine order, feel that sense of alignment. And there's nothing like coming together in prayer. I have just so appreciate the folks who come to noon meditation because we have just grounded this prayer circle here that happens Monday through Thursday. And last Thursday, of course, we got a double dose because we had World Day of Prayer as well. And on Thursdays, we have the Awakened World Prayer Circle. And what's so beautiful about that is that whatever's going on in the world, maybe, that you've been, it doesn't just have to be the world, but it can be things, you know, that you've gotten exposed to in the news and that you've thought about, but you feel maybe helpless or you don't feel like there's that much you can do. I mean, you can write a check, you can pray on your own. But when we come together, There's something that really happens, because here, the way we hold things is through the power of affirmative prayer and upliftment and blessings. And so this horrible thing that just happened in the world that's weighing on my shoulders and breaking my heart, I can come into circle and I can speak to that in an affirmative way. And then others will build on it, and together we create a playing field. We create our own pattern of divine order right here that can be sent out to Maui, to Libya, to Morocco, to wherever it is that in this field of energy we are participating by sending the kind of energy we want to send. Peace and harmony and rebuilding and support and encouragement, all those things. These are the many things we have to contribute. And so that, you know, it's that turning away. I think the tendency for us to want to, because if we do have the privilege of turning away when something happens, and we can choose to say, well, I don't really want to look at that, or I don't really want to participate in that. Part of why we do that is because I think we feel alone and feel a sense of helplessness. But if instead we could say, no, I'm not going to turn around or turn away, because I was asked to be here. I was called to be here. I said yes to being here. I chose to be here. I was incarnated to be here at this time in this place. And these things are happening in my world. And I'm in Earth School. I'm in it. So if I turn away, where's away? I can't turn away. I'm in it. Everywhere I look, I'm still in the energy of what's happening on Earth. And we are all one, remember? One heart, one mind, one experience, one life. And so what happens to somebody on the other side of the world matters. And I can just flap my little butterfly prayer wings and come together with a whole pod of butterflies. I don't know if they're called pods, but whatever they're called. A troop. And we can all flap our prayer wings. Imagine what can happen to change lives. That transformational energy is offered up. Healing is offered up. Revelation is offered up. Who knows? Whatever it is that those people or that person or that country or that region needs, we can trust is received. Why? Because we are a part of a divinely ordered universe that has a pattern that soul and our source energy put into action. From the very beginning, from the Big Bang, from that divine intelligence that said, I'm going to make a world of and form life. I'm going to form all these cool different things in life. I mean, when you begin to think about the diversity of nature, it's just mind-blowing, right? Or the magnificence of the body and how it all works together. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. So it has to have some kind of divine, intelligent pattern behind it. Scientists are always looking for the God particle. And so it's, because there's, a, you know, even the most atheistic scientists, there's still this sort of mystery of the universe that pulls us in, right? Which brings us to the third concept in chaos theory, which is the strange attractor. This is what they call it, the strange attractor. They call it the strange attractor because the movement is that things in chaos look like they're falling apart. It looks like everything's coming undone. And yet, in mathematics, they find that underneath it all, there actually is an organization of energy toward ideal behavior. Gary Taubes, from Discover Magazine says this, chaos has its own pattern, a peculiar kind of order. And this pattern is known whimsically as a strange attractor, because the chaotic system seems to be strongly attracted to ideal behavior. Now, those of us who've been steeped in spirituality for a while go, oh, there's proof now. I knew it all along. We might not call it such a strange attractor, because to us, it's the mystery of the divine, right? It's the mystery of the divine that we know works in a divinely ordered way for good, that there is a force of good, that there is an impetus toward ideal behavior. So when you see all kinds of adults in sometimes powerful positions in the world behaving badly, remember that there is a strange attractor going on. a divine mystery happening that is moving and reorganizing us all to ideal behavior. If that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what does. I'm hanging up my stole if that doesn't inspire you. Because that is so exciting to me, to know that it's like, this is the way the universe works. It's not just a bunch of new thought people walking around going, oh yeah, everything's happy clappy, which I think sometimes is what people think about us. Which is fine, because we do like to have a good time, and it does look like everything's light and bright. Big deal, right? We all look younger than we really are. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to apologize about this anymore. Are you? My life works. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. Life is really good. I wake up in the morning and I go, wow, thank you, God. Seriously, I do. I mean, Brenly and I sit in our backyard all the time and go, oh my God, we are so blessed. I mean, with jobs that we love, with a sense of contribution, with love in our home and in our lives, and this community, oh, and the beauty of nature, it's just like, can it get any better? You know, and then things come. I know things come in our lives that are hard and that are heartbreaking, and some of you are going through those things right now, but what you need to know is all is well. All is well. Because there is constant bubbling energy that knows that truth. There is a part of you that deep in your heart, past all whatever the heartbreak is, you know that truth. All is well. I came to this planet. My source called me to be here, chose my soul, said, this is a place for you because you have something to contribute. You have a blessing to bring. You have a lesson to learn. It's important that you be there now. So when you look at things in terms of the small things that are going on in your life and you think, ouch, that hurts, cast a bigger circle and the pain won't be so bad because suddenly you go, oh, wow, right, I'm part of the cosmos. Look up, there's the celestial beings. I'm made of stardust. Look at nature, look out. Look at the patterns in nature, in seashells and flowers and leaves. I mean, there is a divinely, intricately created thing going on here that is really beautiful and really powerful and way beyond the things that we might deal with in everyday life. And so it's not to belittle the hard parts of life. It's not to say those don't come and they don't break our hearts or trouble our minds. It's not to say those things don't matter. It's just let's cast them into a bigger pool. And then it'll be easier for us to navigate back to the truth. It'll be easier to come to that divine alignment. So, you know, when I think about metaphors for this divine order, this one always comes to mind of that backyard that I was telling you about. Brenly and I put together a rock labyrinth years ago with the help of our godchildren. And it's pretty simple. I mean, it's kind of thin paths, but it's a labyrinth. It's got the sacred geometry in it, and it's got the path, the single pathway with a little bit of switchback in the center, all the aspects of labyrinth. And I sometimes walk it, but I have to say I get just as much or more joy from just looking at it. Because when I look at it, I feel peace. When I look at it, I have a sense of all is well. I feel that sense of order. It's like looking at something that's in order. You know how it feels when your desk is in order, or your drawer, or your closet. You know, when you declutter and you reorganize and you go, oh my gosh, it feels so much better in here. You ever have that experience? Yeah, so it's sort of like looking at in that way. It's like, oh. And then wouldn't you know, this is the favorite place of our dogs to, let's say, leave their offerings. I mean, they've got plenty of space. There's some grass, there's other landscaping, but they always go right for the labyrinth. Both of them. And at first, this really disturbed me. But then I thought, well, okay, let's follow the teachings, right? So it depends upon what you focus on. I mean, I could look at the doo-doo. Or I could look at the sacred geometry of an ancient walking path that's all about meditation and order and pattern of the universe. It's constant for us, right? It's a constant choice. What I think, where I look, how I move through life. And I could always clean up the doo-doo. There's always that too. We could always be of service to clean up the mess, to contribute to cleaning up the mess. So it's these choices that befall us day after day after day. Do I remember? Do I look down at my belly? And do I think, I wish it were a little flatter, or I should suck it in more? Or do I look down and go, oh my God, look at that navel. That is the divine connection to my source. That is my place of birth, my constant reminder that I have come here, that this mark of my connection to my source, be it a constant reminder that the divine pattern is unfolding and I am in alignment with its ideal behavior. Say that to your belly next time. Things will go a lot better. Your digestion will work a lot better too. You know, we come to this place, this earth, this present moment, and let's just remember how precious that is, how precious a life is, how fast it all goes. And just be with the gift that is here for us, the joy that is here for us, the blessings, the lessons, the possibilities, the contributions we can make. And let's remember that we chose to be here now. Our ushers have a little slip of paper for you as you leave to remind you of that truth. And I invite you to affirm it with me now. Together, I play an important part in a divinely ordered universe. I chose to be here now. And so it is.